Stay informed about the state of racing with RSN's Racing Pulse.
Great to have your company on Racing Pulse. Don't forget, in about 15 minutes' time, we will have Turfy time because Dr. Rothfield, or John Rothfield, known as Dr. Turf, will be live in the studio with plenty to talk about. SMS, ask him a question if you want as well. But right now, time to get a footy sport update with Matty Nevitt, the new host of the Big V program, and RSN's AFL editor, Mark Stevens. Steve-o, plenty going on.
Oh, there is, Michael. And often trade periods start slowly and build late, but we're just getting some deals done, which is great. And the latest news is Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, the cult figure from Essendon, of course, who retired early last season, just really, his career finished with a whimper. He might be back.
Really?
He might be considering a comeback. So that's the big news this morning. Obviously, he needed to do a fairly solid pre-season. I think the fitness was really his worry of keeping up with the modern game. But some interest from Fremantle and perhaps Essendon to come back and play footy again.
So is he still on the Bombers list? How does that work? If
I think
the Bombers are keen on him, how do they pick him up
again? I don't think he's on their list at the moment. So it's still got to be a trade or a pickup.
Or a draft.
A draft situation. So... Yeah, we'll wait and see on that one. So he may be a delisted free agent. I think that's the way it works. So once you retire and come back, similar to a Liam Jones. So basically, I think he can pick where he wants to go.
You've gone to the days where this trade period, everyone would wait for the last day, the last few hours, because it started with a big bang. Obviously, the Tim Taranto trade was predicted to happen. It occurred yesterday, heading to Tigerland.
G'day, Tiger Army. It's Tim Taranto here. Thank you so much to the Richmond Footy Club for giving me this opportunity. I honestly can't wait to run out in the yellow and black next year at the G in front of all you fans. I look forward to meeting a few of you over the years to come. And honestly, just once again, thank you so much. I'm so excited.
So the Tigers get their man.
Sounded really excited there. He's over the moon. He's in LA at the moment. So
in LA, is he?
Yeah. So I reckon he might have gone out and celebrated after that. So it's great to get that done. So... as a Richmond man, Mikey, you'd be pretty happy with the picks you've given up.
Absolutely. I think it's the regeneration. Richmond, if they got their game together, 7-point losses, I think there was about 5 or 6 of them, they would have been in the finals. And I think they still could have been a preliminary final type team. They couldn't have beaten Geelong, but they could have probably performed maybe to the level of Melbourne, I think, in the end.
No, I think they could have beaten Geelong. You just never know with Richmond, the way they go about it.
So they got close that game at the G, around 13 or 14.
They're going to be a whole different look, though, next year, aren't they, with this new midfield, and assuming that they can pick up Jacob Hopper as well.
How do they fit Hopper, Taranto in, Steve-o, with the group that they've got?
Something's
got
to go back the other way, doesn't it?
Yeah, there'll be future picks involved, which... imagine a world now without the future draft picks. Mm. Wasn't that a great idea to create move? And that's what's freed a lot of things up. In the past, you just had the picks there for that year. So future picks will certainly help get Hopper in, perhaps a player. Ivan Soldo has been mentioned, the big Ivan, who's very popular at Richmond, lives in Tigerland and a real, almost the mayor of Richmond there, very popular guy. So it'd be sad to see him go, but they're going to have to give up something clearly to get that done.
You surprised that Grundy's going to end up at the D's?
No, we've sort of been tuned into it, haven't we, for a while. Not sanitised, what's the word for it? Prepared for this, because it's been mooted for probably 4 to 6 weeks. Everyone quite open. We had Simon Goodwin, the coach of Melbourne, on the Breakfast Club down at the Welcome Stranger. Yeah. They openly said how it was going to work and he can fit in here and there. So,
and he's going to take a pay cut.
Yeah, take a bit of a slice as well. So probably drop 100 or so. So I think a good pickup for Melbourne.
Are you happy with that, Nev?
Well, I am. I trust the D's and what they've been able to do over the last few years with their list. So they've obviously got a plan, and it involves using Max Gawn a little bit differently as well. So the only thing on Brodie Grundy, and listening to Graham Wright yesterday, the GM there at Collingwood, they're a fair way down the track with that. But I wouldn't expect, and I'm only guessing here, but I wouldn't expect that deal to get done until Jackson departs the Demons, because I feel as though there might be part of that Jackson pick swap that will be involved with Grundy. They're not going to do the Jackson deal.
Yeah, no, you're right there. And
after the Grundy deal, are they?
Is that going to get done, Steve-o?
Yeah. They'll
play hardball there, though. They'll play hardball on Jackson. They want a top 10 pick.
Oh, they will. They'll need to get at least one top 10 pick for him. But just as a Melbourne supporter, I can't really see the Gawn-Grundy thing. It looks okay on paper, but neither of them are forwards. I don't see Gawn going forward and kicking 30-plus
goals. I'm a little
surprised
that they were keen on Grundy.
I think they'll use one of them more behind the footy, to be honest. That's where Max Gawn did his best,
what, turn Max into a centre half back and play
when
Grundy
he drops
in the
back
ruck.
And he's sort of yeah. loose and.
And let Grundy ruck around the ground.
I
and
reckon
floating back.
There might be a 50-50 split in the ruck and Gawn and Grundy, the other one. I think there'll be less forward
Grundy's
use.
Not a backman. Grundy's a ruck only. That's what he is. I can't see him playing as a forward or a back. He's just a guy who likes to get miles in the legs and just create contests
Gawn
around the ground.
Gawn looked pretty shot at the end of the season. Does he need more of a chop out in that around the ground rucking throughout the season?
Well, he had that syndesmosis injury in the middle of the year, didn't he? And that was basically at the time when Melbourne's season went pear-shaped. It was the same time that Stephen May went out for a few weeks. Ed Langdon was concussed. So they were well and truly banged up, the D's. And just on Ed Langdon, I heard you speaking this morning, Steve-o, the D's are keen on Lachie Hunter.
Yeah, well, that's the murmurs and misses. I just don't think Lachie will be at the Bulldogs next year, just my gut feel and what I'm hearing. And he does have some currency because he's just a natural winger. And that's such a key role these days. And Melbourne rate their wingers. Langdon on one side, Hunter on the other. Of course, I'd love to see Lachie stay at the Dogs, a famous family. Mark Hunter, of course, his dad, well known around here, a great guy. So it may not turn out that way. So that's just the modern business of footy at the moment. He was in and out of the side, Lachie Hunter. I couldn't believe, he missed a game with COVID and then couldn't get back in. So I was really surprised at some of the selections that the Dogs involving Hunter, and you could understand him looking around.
So you know everything that goes on at the Dogs. You've got your finger on the pulse down there. So you've lost Dunkley, you might lose Hunter. Who's coming in?
Well, they'll get Liam Jones in as a free agent. Obviously, that comes in because he was unvaccinated, now available. And Rory Lobb, which is looking a little bit more difficult than I thought. Well, I think it'll get done eventually. You can't keep a guy who doesn't want to be there against his wishes. He's got
a partner.
It's been done before, but he's got his partner in South Yarra here in Melbourne. He's ready to come back. So, but they'll squeeze everything out of it and might get done late. He may have to stay, but they're looking to getting some players in. The Dunkley one's interesting as well. So if they lose Dunkley and Hunter, that's two premiership players, another two gone. It's amazing the transition, Michael, how quickly teams turn over. There's not too many premiership players left.
Can the Dockers afford to lose Lobb, though? Because they've got so many players already on the way out. I know they're going to get Jackson, but Akers on the way out, Logue on the way out. There's a couple of other ones as well. I can see why they want to keep Rory Lobb, because a team like them that are on the up, that only just missed out on the top four, they don't really want to be going backwards before they go forwards again.
Yeah, he's inconsistent though, Lobb, but he does a role. They're talking him up at the moment, of course, as if he's Gary Dempsey. He can go into the ruck, go forward, do anything. But, he's handy.
There's a lot
for
of Wayne Careys at this time of the year, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. So we'll wait and see. And Lobb, in the end, it was great in some games, but in the end, in the final, sort of like a lot of the Dockers players just sort of went missing. So, yeah, we'll wait and see on Lobb. But, it's interesting times at the Bulldogs. They're changing things around. They're mixing up their assistant coaching with Brendan Lade coming in. They had to do something because they underachieved with what they had, and they're 41 points up against Freo over there.
Yep.
And Justin Longmuir had his head, he'd almost given up in the box. He looked a broken man, and then suddenly the game came to life. He'd given up, Justin Longmuir. I'd never seen a coach more bedraggled and shattered, and somehow they came to life. But, Freo are well-placed as well, aren't they, particularly if they get your Luke Jackson in. I'd be shattered if I'm a Melbourne supporter losing Jackson, because he's a pretty handy player.
He said from a long way out, though, he was keen to get back home.
I disagree with you on that a little bit there, Steve, and I wanted to message Michael about this morning. I wanted to have a bit of a discussion with you on this. I know your view is that you think it's bad for the game that a lot of players are going home early in their careers at the moment. Horn Francis obviously requesting a trade. Jackson's only had 3 years at the Demons. But the reality is the clubs, especially when they're in contract, but even when they're not going to send them to the draft because there's too much risk attached to that. So they get well compensated. And even if Luke Jackson becomes a superstar, there's the likelihood that Melbourne get two first-round picks, and that could either be two A graders, two B graders, two C graders. But it's
but you
a
have
raffle
to pick
beyond
well,
now.
But you know what you've got with Jackson, so you get your picks, and then it's not a raffle, but you're not sure what you're going to get.
He's 3 years into his career.
I mean, you could that up. If you're the recruiting man, you might pick the wrong player. So at the moment, you know what you've got with Jackson, so it's going to be hard to
You've got a promising
compensate.
Ruckman who hasn't reached his ceiling yet.
Gee, you've There's turned no quick, Nat. He turned quickly.
Just because he went missing in the finals, they were all off
A lot can happen in a player's career. I think right now he's worth what Melbourne are asking for him and what they get back the other way. I think it's 50-50 who would win that deal in 10 years' time.
Yeah, Bobby Hill's an interesting one too, Michael. He's coming, obviously, to Collingwood. Exciting little forward. So that'll add to their mix with Elliott and also Ginnivan.
Tom Mitchell is interesting. Don't often see Brownlow medalists who are being put up there. What's the latest?
Yeah, well, my mail has been for a week or two that he'll end up at Collingwood. Nothing's really eventuated just yet. But I'd say watch this space on the Magpies.
Well, Graham Wright did say yesterday that that's more unlikely than likely. Yeah. So he didn't really fill me with a great deal of confidence that deal would get done.
You have to question. He's a great player, Tom Mitchell, but you get the sense that there's not a lot of people knocking on the door or queuing up to take him on because footy's changed.
It has.
Sort of the in and under sort of accumulator types. Crouch at Adelaide as well. Guys who win best and fairest suddenly just gone out of fashion a little bit. But I think he'd be great at Collingwood. They need another guy who can get their hands on the pool and get it out to these free runners that they've got.
Big trades today. What are you expecting? Anything to occur?
Well, I don't think there'll be a heap today. I think Liam Jones probably get officially done, a few more of those free agents. But we're going to have to be patient, I think, Michael, from now on. I don't think there'll be too much coming today in way of these major trades. And it's a miracle, really, Taranto got done. So two picks early on in the draft. And we spoke to Jason McCartney this morning from the Giants. He was quite proud. He said, I'm leading the way. I'm getting in early.
Well, the Giants know better than anyone about those early picks leaving. So they've had a lot of them over the years. Just one last one on the footy before we break up. And this one's an interesting one. It seems whatever is going on down at the Bombers, each way they turn, they can't get a clear run at things because the new CEO that they announced yesterday is Andrew Thorburn. Within 24 hours, there's an article everywhere saying that he is the chairman of a religious organisation that has some pretty, distasteful views and thoughts on...
Well, it's anti-abortion plus anti-gay,
and
basically.
And homophobia, which would be two of the major pillars that the AFL is built on, is inclusiveness and openness.
Yeah.
And it seems that Andrew Thorburn is the chairman of an organisation that represents the opposite. How could he remain a CEO?
Well, I think, he was also the head of NAB, and then Royal Commission, and he resigned after that. Look, obviously a very smart operator. You don't get the CEO of NAB unless he's probably overqualified at the moment.
They would have known this. But could they, how would they have expected? David Barham's a very smart man.
He's a very media savvy person.
They would have known that this would have blown up.
Need to address it now.
No, but they would have. When they were doing their homework and ticking off the book, they would have known that this was there on his resume. It was quite open. In fact, quite quickly it came up
on the
fan website.
That's what I mean.
Websites
it's out there publicly. So I just can't understand how the club would think, this will play out okay.
Yeah, you're allowed to have different views, though, in life. I mean, not everybody has to have the same views. I'm just putting
You're having devil's advocate. I understand that. So what happens when there is the pride round in AFL and stuff like that? How does it work?
Yeah, it's a difficult
awkward,
one.
Isn't it?
It's messy. And you've got the AFLW team now involved at Essendon.
And human rights, female rights with abortion.
Look, I'm sure he's overqualified. I don't think it's untenable. I think they will push through this, but we're waiting for a statement from Essendon. But he's probably overqualified for the job. He's a great operator, but if you had to choose between two candidates and you look at this one in this environment,
especially
this
with everything
era of footy,
the Bombers have been through,
you'd probably go down another track,
wouldn't you?
Is Gil picking up the phone?
I think he's a good operator.
Is he calling David Barham with a bit of a please explain?
Not really. I think Gil would have been across who this was going to be. And would have been across his history. There's no way that Essendon would have made this appointment without knowing, surely.
You would think not, yeah.
Would the AFL have given it the stamp of approval?
AFL stamps off on most things. I think it probably would have come across the AFL's desk before it happened. I'd be surprised if not. Certainly they're involved in everything. But it's just an interesting test case. You are allowed to have different views in life going around and whatever, but it certainly goes against
the grain. It makes life difficult for a club that has been going through a really tumultuous period.
Yep.
And any word on what's going on down North Melbourne?
Well, at the moment they're looking
at... Are the players wanting to get out because of this uncertainty?
Well, certainly it's caused a bit of a... Well, I think Horne Francis probably wanted to get out anyway, but it's given him reason to get out. Certainly chaos, and I can't see this Clarkson issue being sorted before round one. So who's going to coach? It's Patch Adams again for a while.
Dreadful situation for the Kangaroos.
And his mate Todd Viney's come in, who's a great operator, came in with Alistair and to help his best mate. Now his best mate's not there. So it's a dreadful situation. Hopefully we can sort that out. But The Essendon one's a sticky one. I think you'd have different views on that. I don't think it's ideal. But as I said, you can have different views in the world, I think, and we exist together.
It's going to be an interesting situation. Sivo, great to get your update each and every day, especially during this trade period. We'll do it again at 10:15 tomorrow. RSN's AFL editor. And Nev, what's coming up on the Big V?
Luke McCarthy will join us. Perfect draw for Expensive Ego in the Victoria Cup last night. So he's $4 into 260 off the back of that. So looking forward to catching up with him. Adam Sangster from Swettenham will join us. It's quite incredible. They stand Rubik at Swettenham, Michael. Rubik could have two Everest winners in space of 3 years. What a value stallion he is right now, if that was to be the case. Imagine if Jacquinot goes and wins the Everest. Linda Meach will also join us. Brittany Wong and Georgie Ferugia has all the latest Greyhound news. So busy Big V coming up.
Looking forward to the Big V in an hour's time. We'll take a quick break on the other side of this. Dr. Turf will join me in the studio and we'll catch up with Lizzie Jelfs.